54. No. 54. No. 54. No. Recall. No. On 54. No. On recall. No. On 54. No. On recall. No. On George Bush. Let me hear you scream.
Liberal life. races, many languages, one message, e pluribus unum of the many, we become one. America's a liberal idea. If indeed Pharaoh is the conservative Moses of the liberal, Nebuchadnezzar is a conservative, then Esther's a liberal. If Herod is conservative, Jesus is a liberal. If slave masters are conservatives, abolitionists are the liberals. We have a tradition, a lineage, a line of thought. That, brothers and sisters, was not the I have a dream speech. Start right there. It was not that. It's a terrible diversion and a misreading of the address and the context of the time. It was not the I have a dream speech. He said today we lost for three reasons. One, jobs for all Americans. Two, civil rights, enforceable legislation, and connection with the Gettysburg Address when the promise was made. So he said, I stand here today, 100 years later. Later from what? 1963, 100 years from the Emancipation Proclamation - Gettysburg Address in July of that year. And on that battlefield at Gettysburg, where the recently freed slaves and the Northerners joined together, saved the Union. And we defeated the Confederates that day. We defeated the right wing in Gettysburg and Vicksburg. We defeated the Confederates. We defeated the right wing. Those engaged in treason and secession and sedition and slavery and segregation. Those who wanted to have an economy half slave and half free. Slave labor. The day the blacks were emancipated, labor was born that day. You could not have had organized labor and slavery coexist. The very instant. Because slavery is fundamentally anti-labor. The very instant of emancipation was organized labor's birth. We were born in the womb of that struggle, of an America that gives workers the right to organize and have a place at the table. We won the battle that day to not allow plastic clothes on workers without notice. We won the battle that day for have a freedmen's bureau, a reconstruction to offset the damage of slavery. We won the battle that day for women to have the right to vote. We won the battle that day to have the air that we could breathe. We won a new America that day. Of course, we defeated them, never stopped fighting that. And so, while we won that battle and we promised war, they got the mule and reconstruction and the right to vote and the protection from the Klan, within 12 years, forces of treason and sedition, force of compromise, the Tilden Hayes Compromise. We won somewhere with this. And the winner lost and the loser won, and Florida was a key state in that deal. Wake them up, man. That day organized labor law. It was not only that blacks got set back in segregation, but organized labor lost the right to organize in the South. Women lost the right to vote. Anti-Semitism was allowed to flourish. 1896, the Supreme Court codified it. One step from slavery, a mile from freedom. So Dr. King says, here we are 100 years later. Mr. Lincoln, behind me, you broke the promise. Congress in front of me, 13th, 14th, 15th Amendment, you broke the promise. Supreme Court behind the Congress, you compromised the promise. So here we are 100 years later. We've come together from Texas, across to Florida, to Maryland. We've come here because we are victims of a broken promise with broken hearts and broken bodies and broken lives. We can't use a single public toilet, a hotel, a motel, a library because of the broken promise. He said, now we've come here today, the promissory note, and got a bounce check or a stop check, marked insufficient funds. I dream of a day when because of the promise. I dreamed when black and white were sitting around the common table and all of that. The dream was about dreaming of a day when the promise would be on them. So when you say on August 9th, where's Dr. King's promise? Where's Dr. King's dream? Well, the dream was a future hope. The promise, where's America's promise? Because the promise carries with it a budget. Laws to be enforced. It was the unenforced laws and denial of a budget that left us trapped in what Dr. King called savage inequality in the first place. Watch me. The same forces that were against the 54th Supreme Court decision were against the 64 Public Accommodations Bill. The same forces were against the right to vote. The same forces were forgot the right to vote 25 years to 1990, used gerrymandering, annexation, session, at law, growth project, and voter discounts to maintain power. Then 1990, census undercounts, disenfranchising by census undercount. By 2000, these same forces fighting for choice schools for a few rather than public schools for the masses. These same forces, the next ordinary thing, used a right-wing Supreme Court. In many ways, the right wing is the one of 1857, intervening in a state election and stopped the count. Scalia argued that Americans didn't have the right to elect a president in the first place. It was a privilege and not a constitutional right. He didn't argue that way. The same forces that would be audacious enough to say stopping the count to term the president is a one-time only deal that only we can make. This must not be precedent. So the Ninth Circuit challenged them. We reserve the right for a one-time deal. Determine the outcome of the national election. The same forces. On Dr. King's birthday, Bush said it's against affirmative action. When they lost the affirmative action decision in April, then came Prop 54. In Michigan and California, 54 is fundamentally designed to undercut affirmative action. Rather than deal with race affirmation and a multicultural society, say race doesn't exist in the global society of, in the multicultural society of many languages, many cultures, to say you cannot document rising anti-Semitism. Illegal. You can't document racism. You can document profit. You can document in every state there are more blacks and Browns in jail and there are in college in every state, and 900,000 young black men in jail and 600,000 in college. You cannot document the injustice of that arrangement. Dr. Boyd is hard twice to obliterate the promise. It tried to wipe out responsibility for the promise. Today, Bush, not Ashcroft, they've not met with civil rights leaders or labor one time in 2.5 years. A closed-door policy. Said that they don't count civil rights, civil liberties, social justice, not labor. Closed-door policy. We can't just stop Prop 54. We can't just stop the recall. We must stop Bush in November. Don't be ambivalent about the recall issue. This is not about great Davis. It's about recalling our right through an election last year. This is about recalling our white woman election last year. If the standard of malfeasance or treason or corruption is met, the government should be removed and replaced. That is a standard. But then suppose you're in a race and you have modest income. You're here in Washington, in Chicago. You want to type three-person race. The rich person chooses to then torpedo the hull of the ship. You couldn't afford to run the first race, now you've got to run the second race. You can't run the second race. But at the end of a last year, the Lakers played the Spurs. After the last game, they couldn't have a recall. They had to wait the next season. When you lose, you got to wait for the next season. You don't have the right to undo an election on a standard of need, treason, corruption, and malfeasance. Why must you look at this issue beyond the governor? Because the Ninth Circuit said that based upon the uneven access to fair voting, that transcends the governor. They said that at least 40,000 folks would be disenfranchised. Disenfranchisement matters. Disenfranchisement destabilizes. And then there's a pattern. Don't separate. Stop count in Florida. Reorganize districts in Texas. Prop 54 in California and quit count in California. There's an unbroken line of Florida. If they, in fact, can maintain Texas through reorganization and take back California through disorganization, the recall is the key to keeping the White House in 2004. That's right. Mm-hmm. Put your hands together.
Hello.
I want this about because I don't want us still to make the mistake of getting sidetracked on the issue of recall. Of the 54 is the fuel that's now driving the energy of our progressives to fight to keep California and take America back. The beginning of this campaign has not been with the nine candidates, it's really been the Prop 54 and recall. The campaign to take the White House back and the Congress back and the Senate comes from California. The energy that we now have is the starting march for 2004. I said this and I close. Yes, we should fight the Prop 54. We should fight recall. But I would argue that next Labor Day, I read this already with SEIU and HERE, next Labor Day, since we've had a net loss of jobs in every state. Reverend, you understand. You just got out here, and in California, we frustrated. Y'all ain't got no monopoly on frustration.
Thank you.
Question is, what are you going to do about your frustration? Are you in a hole? Are you going to look for a $60 million golden shovel? Or are you going to look for a rope and a ladder? You're in a hole. You don't need a shovel. You need a rope. You need a ladder. Why are you frustrated? Because we've gone from a net gain of 22 million jobs to a net loss of 4 million. That's a second feeling. We've gone from every state being in surplus to every state in deficit spending and unfunded mandates. That's a second feeling. Our pensions and 401ks are no longer secure. That's a second feeling. They're locking up our kids for pot and crack cocaine while crooks of Enron, Halliburton, M. Chandler,
Ouch.
That's a natural crisis that requires a national change.
Ouch.
in direction and leadership. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you, it was an era of huge dimensions. The break from the UN and undercut the UN, called it irrelevant, split Europe, and go Arab and let into Iraq alone. Huge. Today, Bush and Rumsfeld declared today, no Saddam al-Qaeda connection. Today, on national news, Bush and Rumsfeld declared no Saddam al-Qaeda connection. Well, no Saddam al-Qaeda connection, no imminent threat, no weapons of mass destruction, no Saddam, no Bin Laden, no integrity in the process. It's time for a change. Time to rise up and fight back. Focus, Nate, on Iraq, Afghanistan, jobs down and tuition up. In the coming days, I challenge us to have a massive march on Washington next Labor Day. We should go to Washington by tens of thousands, demanding a job, an income, all Americans, which was Dr. King's last great effort. We must not dislike against vouchers in the Prop 209. We must fight our constitutional amendment, an equal high quality public education for all children, equal high quality public health for all citizens, workers' rights to organize, a clean environment for all Americans, and women's right, the equal rights amendment for women. We must put an agenda that defines where we're going. So whether you are NAACP, or Urban League, or NCLC, or the RASA, or you're progressive, if we set our goal, workers' right to be at the table. All children, without based upon a corporate tax base, the right to an equal high quality public education. All Americans, a health care plan based upon need, not based upon money. We set high goals and fight without quenching in the face of struggle. We're going to win because we're right. Tonight I say to you as I make this next meeting tonight, don't let them break your spirit. We're going to win this battle. If it's October 7th, November 7th, March 7th, we're going to terminate this process. We're going to fight justice and health care. Keep hope alive. I love you very much. Basic.